the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live right here from our studios located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And we want to welcome you to today's live broadcast and thank you for taking the time to join us. Don't forget, if you have the opportunity to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And of course, this being the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour, we have one more live broadcast coming up tomorrow, and that would be the Friday broadcast. We hope you'll tune in for that as well. We want to remind you, of course, that you can join us during the broadcast. The phone lines will be open during the entire broadcast, and if you would like to participate, share a comment or ask a question that is theme-related, we welcome those phone calls at 800-338-7060. That is a toll-free number that you can dial anywhere in North America, 800-338-7060. And locally in the greater Baltimore area, friends, you can join us at 410-483-3700. And again, we welcome you to today's Grace Hour broadcast. And if you've been listening this week, our theme, topic, subject matter has been, well, conspiracy on a corporate level. And today we're going to be focusing on what it means to, well, experience conspiracy in our souls. How does that happen? Where does it come from? And I think it's safe to say, and Pastor Schaller's joined us in the studio today. Welcome back from Eurocon.
Yeah, great to be here.
Yeah, and we've heard so many amazing things about the conference. A lot of us that didn't have a chance to go, we were able to watch it. The messages were amazing. The fellowship was unparalleled, it seemed like. And people are saying maybe one of the best conferences we've ever had.
Yeah.
Thank God
for that. That's what happened. It was a Word of God revival, really.
Yeah.
It was a fellowship and presence of God was great. Sebastian here is running the program today, the technology part of it. The IT people did a great job videoing it. I mean, sitting in your living room here in America and feeling you're there. The video, the whole presentation was amazing. I didn't hear it. I was at the other end of it, but Kathy Grunwald in their home on the Chesapeake, watching the sun come up at 5 a.m. while we are at, having our service over there at 10:30, 11 o'clock. And that was fun to hear, you know.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. And, you know, Sebastian and his team did such an outstanding job because all of the images of the people, I think that that's something we've never really seen before. We've seen the messages, we've seen the cameras focused on the pulpit or those that are singing and leading in worship, but we've never seen the congregation like we saw. Mm-hmm. So you really felt like you were there because it was up close, it was personal, and you would see this one and that one that you haven't seen perhaps in years, or they're so far away in such a distant country that you think you might not ever see them again, and yet there they were.
Yeah.
It was
very
amazing.
Good. Like some people, we haven't seen them for 20 years. And others, you know, COVID. The last time we were in Hungary was 6 years ago. Wow. So that's a long time. I mean, we did it in Poland and then COVID and then Poland again and now back for me, but back home in Hungary.
Mm. Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah. Memorable conference,
yeah.
To say the least. So kind of sorry that we have to switch gears now and talk about conspiracy, but When you talk about conspiracy in a person's soul, individually, personally, it all seems to stem from the reality of the fact that every human being, they have a heart that is deceitful and desperately wicked. Mm-hmm. It all begins there. And we're not talking just about, you know, you mentioned it earlier, about people that are out there or have been involved in a conspiracy. But that potential lies within all of us, doesn't it?
Yeah. Maybe in a word, it's like that we can be dishonest with ourselves. Maybe that's just where the real root of it is. That we, you know, when you're laying in bed, reflecting on things, and can you be really, really honest and transparent before God? Mm-hmm. And recognize that you are... you are proud or defending yourself and not humble. Maybe you are devising a scheme to get out of a responsibility. I don't want to see the teacher tomorrow. I don't want to see my girlfriend tomorrow. I don't want to talk to my son tomorrow. I don't want to talk to my boss tomorrow. How can I get out of it? You know, we are very good at this, like spinning a tail in our hearts and figuring out how to, you know, and it's rooted in not being humble, not being honest, not being transparent. We're in a way like escaping, and we are being dishonest about it.
How would the cross and the application of the cross liberate us and set us free from that kind of dishonesty? How does the cross, practically speaking, work in our lives so that we don't have to live in that reality?
Yeah, in simple, very simple terms, the cross simply means I am a sinner. You could deny that and look at the cross and say, this is happening because Jesus wasn't smart enough to navigate his world, his way through the world and escape the cross. But he went to the cross on purpose to save us and deal with our wicked hearts. So the cross is really rooted in what theologians call total depravity. That man is totally depraved, that he protects himself, he hides, he deflects, he blames others. He's an artist at it. He's good at it. But the cross is you're face to face with your own depravity. Yeah, that's like one part of it. The other one is the grace of God. I see the grace of God. I see the love of God there.
If someone were to slip into that kind of dishonesty and that kind of deception, how can they get out of it? Do they have to recognize what's happened before they can take a step in the right direction? Or is it something that you can't escape from? Once it begins to take hold in your soul, it's almost like it owns
okay,
you.
Let's like back up one step and say, you know, do we slip into it? No, we are in it all the time. It's our first mode of operation. It is to be deceitful, to hide, to protect ourselves, to put on the best airs, to project to people around me socially. You know, I'm a good guy. Yeah, you all know I'm a good guy. I'm a funny guy. I'm a social guy. I can connect with you people. I'm a good guy. Never done anything wrong. You can see that. So, but this is not about that. This is about you before God. And this is where you live. You are a person who is wrong. So you must be born again. And that, I know that's what you were saying. Once you are born again and spirit-filled, you learn to live a transparent and open and humble life before God. Then, yeah, you can slip into it. You slip into this mischief. The King James uses that word. Machinations, like a construction of like hiding, being able to hide and blame and deflect and get out of it, you know. We slide into that, and I think that's what you're, you know, it's what you're asking. How can we get out of it? Once we are in it, do we detect it? And then when we detect it, what do we do about it?
Yeah, and if we recognize it, but we don't deal with it, we can move further into that realm of pride.
Yeah.
And that's where the real trouble begins, because that started the original conspiracy before God. An angel, Lucifer, his heart was filled with pride.
Mm-hmm.
And that started the original conspiracy. So if we move in that direction, we're going to find ourselves in a lot of trouble as believers. And it's the antithesis of humility, which mm-hmm. brings blessing and life and hope and healing and deliverance. But when you move toward that pride, it's destructive.
Yeah. Well, that's... let's go there, I guess. I don't know. I'm at the gym where Coach Lynch is the head of the gym. He oversees the facility. I'm a teenager. I'm playing, and I steal a basketball, you know, take it home with me. Mm. And the coach says, where's the basketball? But you start immediately, you know, it's very easy to develop in your heart a plan of escaping the accountability, you know, getting away with it and living like that. Okay, can you live like that? Yes. Like, are there guys good at it? Yeah, Jacob in the Bible was a deceiver, you know. He was very clever, very smart, very capable guy. Con man. Okay. But we are talking about not about getting away with things. We're actually talking about getting caught all the time and learning to live with God. Because God is not a deceiver, and God tells the truth, and God is humble, and God is righteous. So you actually, there are people that like the game called life, where you get away with a lot of things, you know. The proverb, bread eaten in secret is pleasant. What's the other part of that verse? Secret waters are sweet. Stolen bread is pleasant, yeah. So there are people that like dysfunctional living. They like what they would call normal is our abnormal, and what we call normal is their abnormal. So I hope we are getting across to the audience what we're talking about.
Yeah. When you mentioned about how people getting caught, you like to think that that's going to be the turning point. But because I remember living before I was born again, you know, living in a way that being deceitful and lying was working,
mm-hmm.
but only for a certain amount of time. And then it catches up with you. And that's where you're faced with that decision. I can either, you know, step into the light
mm-hmm.
and have it all exposed.
Yes.
And when you do that with God, there's healing, there's forgiveness, there's redemption. But if you keep, you know, you stay in the darkness,
mm-hmm.
that can become the habit and the pattern of your life. And what a road of destruction that can lead to.
Yeah, it's very consuming. It consumes your whole life. And at the end of your life, what you have you gained? Undoubtedly, you've lost reputation. People have discovered your true character. You have suffered. Maybe relationships have been broken. You're called a jerk, a deceitful guy. You know, people don't trust you. If they get to ride in the car where they have a choice of two cars, your car isn't one of them. You know, people withdraw, Psalm 64. It's not winning. You're not winning in life. The only way to win in life is to be humble before God and be really transparent before God. So let's go back to the basketball is missing in the gym. Where'd the basketball go, you know? Silence, you know, like I'm going to get away with it. The other way would be, Coach, I have a hoop at the end of my driveway. I don't have a basketball. Do you have an extra one? Could I get one? Could I work for one? What do you think I should do? I'll go get it. You know, I'll solve my problem, but I'll be honest about it. But now the coach is saying, you know, where's the bat? Anybody know where it is? No, I don't know where it is. I don't. Okay, so God, who sees me and knows me, knows that I have, for the sake of our program, when you're using the word conspiracy, but this is only in me. But I could draw somebody else into it. But there is a development in my scheming and in my planning. To protect myself, not be shamed, not to be found out, to hide. And that becomes, you know, that's my mode of operation. And we are saying that not only could it be something that I am inventing and I am scheming in my own mind and heart, which, by the way, Proverbs speaks a lot about it. Proverbs 4:16, they sleep not except they have done mischief. Their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. That's a kind of mental pattern of thinking where actually not only am I deceitful in my own heart and mind, but I am looking for other people to get hurt. Mm. I can plan their, you know, I want them to be hurt, to lose. So that's not good way of living. Mm. That's not nice.
Yeah.
That's not nice. Don't do that.
All of this can be developed, what you just described, when you know, in darkness.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, Jesus said, here's the problem. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And the longer you stay in that darkness, I would imagine the more complicated your life can become because you got to keep hiding, scheming, being deceitful, cheating. And then it can create anxiety. Will you be discovered? Will you be found out? Will this be brought to the attention of, I mean, it just can create a whole litany of problems in a person's life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's say there's a verse in 2 Peter 2 where it says that they false teachers, their eyes are full of adultery. Looking at that verse, like, what does that mean? That a man, when he looks at a woman, that's what he thinks about. Like, he sees the woman in that context, that he has it in his heart and mind. Why? Because he has internally that's how he imagines, that's how he thinks, he fantasizes, and that's his way of operating. And they promise liberty in their teaching, but in them they are springs without water. And what is the other one? Miss without rain. Mm. So maybe it's in verse 16 or 17 of 2 Peter 2. I think of a man who weighs 300 pounds and he's selling diet books. You know?
Yeah.
You know, he's representing like something like being fit and being in good condition and that, but then in himself, he's not able to do this. Same way with human beings that maybe are religious and they're talking about religion, but they themselves are not free. So we are talking about dealing with the very root of our imaginations and our mischief and our internal conspiracies. As saying that, wait a minute, the basketball, I took it, you know, before God and before Pat Lynch, you know, I took the basketball. I'm very sorry, I'll bring it back tomorrow or something, you know. Like the whole thing stops right there.
Yeah.
You brought light into the situation, you made a confession, you've admitted, and you just stop thinking that way. And you find yourself like God will bless those people. And that's what we're looking for.
Mm, amen. The phone lines are open. If you'd like to join us and share a thought with us, friends, you can do that at 800-338-7060. Here in the Baltimore area, you could reach us at 410-483-3700. The thought that comes to my mind, in the life of a believer, okay, they've made that decision to believe and to accept Christ. They're born again, and then somewhere down the road, you know, they stop living by every word of God. They stop drawing near to God, and now there's this opportunity to make a provision for their flesh. But they don't want to just come right out and say that. They don't want to be honest and say, I want to, you know, please my flesh rather than live a life that's pleasing to God. So then they begin to maybe criticize the ministry, the message, the man of God, with the hope that they can slip out under the cover of that kind of approach toward life, rather than being, once again, honest. The same way they were honest about recognizing their need to be saved, now they find themselves slipping into that deceitfulness that says, I want to make a provision for my flesh, but I don't want to just come right out and say, this is how I want to live. I want to live a bad life. So I'm going to take the spotlight off of my own soul, put it over here, find something wrong with them, and then create that capacity to live a different way.
Yes, yes. You know, the best defense is a great offense in this regard. The best way to find victory and willingness to be humble before God and walk this way is to be persuaded that there is a better way. I think some people are not persuaded there is a better way. They don't know a better way. So, like Pastor Love, you and I in the ministry, and many people who represent Christ in the world by the gospel, we are persuading people, we are talking to them, we are preaching and teaching, and we're saying there is a better way. And once when you find that and practice it and you discover what it is, then it's the best way to stay away from the other thing. You know, like you just, you know, honey attracts more flies than vinegar, you know, like to find. And now, that being said, there is religion that is not grace oriented. There is religion where God is really not at the center. It's another form of self-love and self-interest religion. Religion can be very much rooted in self-interest and self-love and can be very hard or very antinomian or sensual or very lawless. There are people that represent that too. So I just want to say that the convincing, I think the convincing argument for all of us is that once you detect that you are making a provision for yourself, then turn to God with all your heart and be very humble before Him and say, I want to be accountable and I want to do the right thing.
Accountability is a big factor in this whole process, isn't it? I'm reminded, as you said that, about Peter, when Jesus, in John's Gospel, the 6th chapter, he had some hard sayings. Many people went back. They no longer walked with him. And that's when he turned to the disciples and said, will you also go away? But you have to love Peter's response, which was, well, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. In other words, there really are no other options once you've really come to know who God is. All other options are taken off the table. This is your life.
Yeah.
But it's a rich, full, abundant kind of life and would be foolish to choose any other life other than that.
Let's see. I'm just thinking in the epistles where the apostles are writing, and they're very concerned that the church would lose its message and lose the relationship. So 1 John 1 about the fellowship with God. And that fellowship with God is, you know, that's the, we can't lose that. We cannot substitute it with anything. And that's where Peter is saying in that text, where will we go? I've got the face of God in front of me. I have fellowship with God. I want that. I don't know what he's talking about. These are hard sayings. I'm not sure about what he means by that and so on, but I have the face of God. It'd be almost like your kind mother reprimanding you, and you know, but that's my mother, the face of my mother. That's what I'm drawn to. I have my mother. Yeah, I don't like what she's saying to me, and I may not like exactly this or that, but I have my mother. This is for a young boy or young girl, you know, that have a good mother, and that relationship means a lot to them. In the same way, when we see the face of God, Psalm 27, and that moves us, and we see it, then I rather live that way. Mm. That, and I can take the hard sayings, because when Coach Lynch says, "Where's the basketball?" I can, because I've been with God that morning. Mm. I put it away. I dealt with it in my heart. And when he said, you know, I come in with the basketball, and that's a better way.
Amen. Maybe we could talk a little bit about what it means to be wholeheartedly after God. What are the dangers in the life of a believer if their whole heart isn't after God? In other words, what if they are, you know, in their heart, for lack of a better way of saying it, keeping something for themselves, holding on to a portion of their soul, because maybe they don't believe that God will really fulfill them, satisfy them, give them that contentment that they're longing for. So they just, I guess, make a provision for their flesh somehow. Mm. There's a danger. It's almost as if you don't get everything that God wants to give you unless you are willing to give him your whole heart.
Yeah. The problem people have, I think, with that is, maybe we could describe it that if you carry extra baggage or you have some problem, is some of the problems that we have are obviously bad, like a poison or a cancer. And I would easily get rid of that. But the problem lies in when I have a briefcase and there's something valuable in the briefcase and I cannot get rid of that. So it's obvious, I want to get rid of the addiction, I want to get rid of the bad attitude, I want to get rid of the pornography, I want to get rid of the... But could I get rid of the niceness? Could I get rid of the things that are pleasant that maybe when the Lord says, give me everything, that's the good, the bad, the ugly. This is where people have a problem. They say, no, I got a good briefcase. I got there's some gold in that briefcase. Like I've got a document in that briefcase. It's very important for my future. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said, well, I want it all, everything.
Yeah.
And you go, no. I got like Agag, yes, and the good, yes, sheep, and you know, yep, I got something. You know, you could use that briefcase. And the Lord said, you know what? You're going to run for your life out of a house that is on fire, and you got to leave everything. And I was on a plane recently, and in the announcement it was, you know, in case of emergency, leave everything behind.
Yeah.
You know, your phone, mm-hmm, your wallet, everything behind if you want to save your life.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
They didn't say that.
Yeah.
I'm like embellishing.
Yeah. But the illustration is a good one.
Yeah.
It's a good one. I think of how many times in the Psalm 119 in particular, how often he says, with my whole heart, and I'm pursuing God, I'm following God, and with my whole heart, I'm seeking him. There's something to be said. I think that, you know, you can certainly cut down on the risk dramatically of being deceived or entering into a personal conspiracy in your soul if you're wholeheartedly after God.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're not making any provision.
Mm-hmm.
There is none.
Yeah.
You've burned those bridges and you're moving in God's direction.
Yeah. Like, have you ever met somebody who was caught and the police said you have to take a lie detector test and they're saying, no, I refuse that.
Yeah.
You know, I know.
I wonder why.
I refuse that. So, you know, the big question here is, are you willing to go into God's x-ray room, CAT scan room, lie detector room? Are you willing? And, we all know people that are spirit-filled people that live in a way. And by the way, your character... Yeah, which isn't really yours, but it's what God is doing in you, and God is giving you this character that becomes really appealing, and is better, it says a good name is better than gold, you know? Mm. A good name, meaning your nature and your character has so much value to it, you know?
Yeah.
I know of a story... we had a student in Baku, Azerbaijan, who was from another country, a Turkmenistan, and he was for a part-time job as a student. He was in, we were working with a moving company, moving a wealthy oil family, and they lost a ring, a valuable ring, a piece of jewelry in the transition, and he found it in the mud outside the house, and he brought it to the family, and they said, "Who are you?" You know, and the guy said, "I want to hire you, and I want you to put you to school, you know, in the oil work, you know." So he goes from, you know, lugging furniture on a truck to like running an oil rig in the Caspian Sea, or being in the government of it, you know, because of being trained in Scotland, who, you know, it all happened by a man that found that he found a man who had character.
Yeah.
To return a valuable ring and do it out of principle. Well, I mean, what kind of life will God give you?
Wow.
If you will kind of let him deal, not kind of let him. No, you better be serious about it, because he will set you free. You may be, because of your deceitful heart, on a bad track today.
Yeah.
And we're saying there's a better way.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of, you know, Joseph comes to mind, because, you know, Potiphar's wife is trying to seduce him. And she's saying, "I'm not going to say anything. You know, my husband's not going to find out. The servants in this house, they're not going to say anything. You can do this and you can get away with this." And yet Joseph says, "I can't do this because I live in the presence of God."
Yeah.
God will see it. And then you think of the promotion that followed in his life because of that honesty, that kind of integrity. He couldn't, you know, he knew the only one that really matters is God himself. Doesn't matter if everybody else, you know, covers it or doesn't find out about it. The one that really matters would know, and that's everything to me.
You know, Psalm 139 really hits it out of the park within the context of our conversation here. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart," in verse 23. "Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know, when we have internal conspiracy, that kind of way of figuring out how to escape, how to blame somebody else, privately slander somebody, you know, being dishonest, and then looking to God instead, bringing it before God, looking for his wisdom and finding the way, that will help us a lot. And though we're not perfect, still we kind of choose that way.
And you referred earlier to, you know, presenting yourself to God for those x-rays. In a practical way, doesn't that happen when we come to church? We listen to the Word of God, and the Word of God is sharper than any surgeon's scalpel, and it discerns the thoughts and the intents of the hearts. I mean, it's possible for people to go to church and for God in the service reveal something about their hearts that isn't right, and it's his way of saying, "I want you to deal with it. That's why you're here today, because I'm bringing this to your attention so that it can be dealt with. In my grace and in my mercy and in my patience, I want to deal with this." So for a believer to withdraw from the body of Christ is so dangerous, because now you're not getting the x-ray. You're not giving the divine surgeon an opportunity to find out what's really wrong and to put his finger on it so that you can get healing and help.
Yeah, you just hit it out of the park, Pastor.
It's true, though.
No, it is.
I mean, we all have to do this, because if you turn your back on the local assembly that God's called you to, you're forsaking your own mercy.
Well, Psalm 62:10, "Once God has spoken, twice have I heard it." So I always think of it this way, that I heard it in my own heart, Like I'm sitting at home and I hear it in my own heart, but I can put it away. Mm-hmm. Like I could just say, you know, I hear it in my heart. The Lord is saying, trust me with all your heart. Oh, yeah. Yes, Lord, I trust you, you know. But actually, you know, I hear it in my own heart, but then I have my excuse or my, okay. Then I go to the church, I hear it from the pulpit, the same thing. But it's God spoke once, like the same thing, but I hear it twice. Mm. But what if I don't hear it twice? I don't hear it at all. Mm. I'm really left to my own way. And that's where, you know, I start to blame others. I start to defend myself. But I have a very hard time being humble before God and being very transparent before Him and being honest with Him. And saying, really, what's wrong with the universe? Me. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with our society? It's me. Mm. What's wrong with my marriage? It's me. What's wrong with life? It's me. So that's a good starting point.
Yeah, that takes great humility.
Yeah,
but
in recovery too. I mean, but that's the door that enters the room is the humility that where I'm willing to say it is me. Now there's a lot of parts to it. There are, you know, my wife I do have a problem, and she's not totally innocent. But I got to start in my heart with God and say, God, you know, I've got issues and I got problems, and I'd like to get on the right road and end up in the right place. Then the Lord will say, well, we got to start with you. Mm-hmm. Leave your gift at the altar, go get right with your brother, and then come back and offer your gift.
Yeah.
But we got some work to do.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, have you ever seen anybody just before the offering is taken in church, you ever seen anybody leave their seat quickly and come back a few minutes later with a big smile on their face? A pretty good indication that something had to be taken care of before they brought their gift to God. Well, we have a few minutes left, friends, and you can join us if you'd like. You can pick up the phone quickly and weigh in with a thought or a question, perhaps, at 410-483-3700, locally right here in Baltimore, and the toll-free number in North America, 800-338-7060. The final question we have, Pastor Schaller, is how do we guard our hearts and prevent these kinds of thoughts, conspiratorial thoughts, from happening in our souls? What's the best advice we could give to believers today so that they don't enter into this kind of deceit?
Mm-hmm. I think what we've been saying so far does put a lot of pressure on us. It does. And I think we got to be careful with that. This is about God, and God gives us time. He is patient with us. And maybe sooner or later, you know, you will get the idea that it's much better to be like submitted to Him and ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. This is Luke 11:13. I mean, there are times where our dead spot, that place where nothing is happening, and I feel miserable. I'm very disappointed. Even my spiritual life, I'm very disappointed. I'm hurt somehow and all that. That dead spot, I want to just say, don't beat up yourself. God is for you. We are for you. There's a better day coming right now. If you would just reckon on Him, listen to messages that will build you up and be strong in grace, and just be open before God. Mm. And God will do His work with you. He loves you.
It could come down to that one word, repentance, where we could change our mind, right? I mean, I think of all of those letters that John wrote in the book of Revelation, the second and third chapters, the seven letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor. And whenever there were issues that were addressed by Christ in those local assemblies, it seemed like the remedy was always the same. Repent. Change your mind. Mm-hmm. You know, turn around. Mm-hmm. Anything and everything can be resolved if we would be willing to do that before God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Very good.
Well, just a couple of minutes left in the broadcast, friends. We appreciate those of you that have joined us on the chat. And we want you to remember that if we don't necessarily acknowledge what you have to say in the chat, that's going to go out over the internet. So people need to see what those comments are, and they get a chance to hear from you that way as well. So thank you for participating that way. Yuka Bori says, thanks so much for this teaching. It's so important to having an open heart before God, quick to repent and rebound, forgive, and all of it.
Yeah, this is Pastor Yuka.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good word.
Amen.
Yeah. Right.
Well, we'll wrap it up today. Friends, thank you so much for joining us for this particular Grace Hour broadcast. Don't forget, in less than 24 hours, we'll have the Friday edition of the Grace Hour, and we hope that you will take the opportunity to tell some folks about this program that you listen to on a regular basis. And we want others to be able to tune in and listen to the broadcast as well. But thanks again so much for joining us. Don't forget, tomorrow you can join us as we wrap up this subject matter, this theme on the subject of conspiracy. And Pastor Shibeli, I believe, will be here in the broadcast booth along with a guest as well. So thanks. May God bless you until tomorrow at the same time.